Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship today at Second Baptist Church. I am Cheryl, and I am delighted to be here with you. I'd like for you to know that no matter how busy and how crazy and full our weeks and weekends are, and some of them are hard and some of them are great, being back here on Sunday mornings with all of you is exactly what is beautiful for my soul. So thank you so much for being here today, and thank you for joining us online, those of you that are worshiping with us at home or wherever you are. We are so glad that you could join us too. I want to send out a huge shout out to so many of our Second B members and friends and former members of Second B who have shown up for the Blitz build at Habitat for Humanity over the past couple of weeks. I had the opportunity to spend one afternoon out there with y'all, and if you haven't gotten to see what they have done, it is amazing. They are literally building these three houses, and some of our people have been out there every single day, and some of you are dropping in when you can and putting in all the work, and it's amazing, and it shows up, and it shows what you're doing, and we're so grateful for you and for your time, and I'm so proud of all of the people that are representing Second B. I've seen people past Second Bers connecting with and now Second Beers, and it's just been a really beautiful thing. So thank you for everything that you're doing out there. Now I invite you with me to take a moment. Let's prepare ourselves for worship today. The Lord be with you. Now, as you are able, please stand with me for the call to worship. O God, who gives grace to the humble, source of all understanding, righteous refiner, wash away our impurities. Like clay in the hands of the potter, shape us into your image. All praise be to God. Amen.
Would y'all please pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for today and for the ability to be here, to hear your word, to sing your praises, and to feel your presence. God, we thank you for all the blessings that we have, and we also thank you for the moments that remind us just how blessed we are. God, draw near to those who need to feel your presence more so today. Hold us close, God, and remind us that you are love. It is in your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Okay, boys and girls, y'all want to come down for children's time today? I love it. We were dancing and clapping in church. That was so fun. I like it. Y'all come on down. If it's okay, I want to sit with you guys today. Can I sit here in the middle right here? I'm going to sit right here so you can see. Yeah, how's this? Kai, you want to come up a little closer? You good? Okay. Hey, thanks for coming to children's time today. Everybody doing okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? I'm so glad to see you. You had a great day. I'm so glad, Sebastian. I'm having a great day, too.
Yesterday we spent the night.
I'm so happy. Sleepovers are the best, aren't they?
Yeah,
so
both
fun.
Had sleepovers.
So glad.
Sleepovers.
That's so great. Yes.
Remember yesterday?
I remember. I saw you.
My brother.
Yes.
My
I went to a
won.
Soccer game, so it was a really great day, Pastor Jake. All right. I want to talk to you guys about my favorite book that I have at my house. I love books that I don't have to read. Especially, don't you like some books that you can just look at? They're almost like picture books.
No, I like books that they read.
Well, we can make up the words for this one then, okay? Sorry, Anderson.
Okay.
All right, I want to show you this favorite book of mine. Look at it, how beautiful it is. Look when you open
Whoa.
It. I know. It's like a surprise. I hadn't even opened this page yet because I didn't even know this page was here. It still has the new papers on it. Look at this. Isn't it beautiful? It's like a bouquet of flowers. Ready for the next page?
Yeah.
Ready? Oh, look at that one. It's really good, huh? Yes. Okay, it just keeps getting better and better. You ready for the next one? Yeah. Okay, hold on. Oh, look at this one. Butterflies even. Wow, it's good, huh? Yes. Are you ready for the next page?
Yes.
You don't have to have words for a good book. Okay. Look at this one. It's got a bird. Look at it. Isn't it cool? Yes.
Yeah.
It's the coolest book. Okay, I have one more page. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, look at it. Oh, lily pads. So cool.
Yes.
That's cool.
And then my family knows how much I like these pop-up flowery books. And purple is my favorite color. And tulip. Look how cute. Yes. It's all, and so I have it, and I keep this in my room, and I love to open it up when people come over so it looks all fancy in my bedroom, right? And these flowers are my favorite because no matter what I do to them, they're never going to fade away, right? These are the best kind of flowers I can keep forever. Well, about this lesson, and I have these seeds that my friend Mike gave me last week, and these seeds are going to become Gerber daisies, right, if I plant them. So if I were to plant these seeds and they grow as pretty as these fake flowers in my book, what do I have to do to make sure they plant, they grow? What do I have to do for searching? Okay, I have to water them. What else, Juliana?
You have to give them plenty of sun.
I do have to give them plenty of sun.
And you gotta give them plenty of time.
Plenty of time, Bastion, to grow for certain. Yes, I've gotta have, and I have to keep the weeds away from the flowers, right? Yes?
Yeah, the ones. Otherwise, yeah, it'll kill it, and then it'll become into a weed.
I'm so glad you said that. Exactly. They will.
And then if the weed spreads, it'll turn the flowers into a weed.
It's exactly right. So now I want you to picture your little faces in this bag, okay? Now you guys are all my little seeds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And if I want to grow each and every one of you, how do I keep you away from the weeds? What are the weeds in your life? Yes, Bennett. Maybe, have you ever made some bad choices?
No,
you've never made a bad choice in your whole life. Well, now's the time, Bennett. You just go crazy.
I would thank them.
Okay, so stay away from bad choices. Stay away from people who maybe bring you down, right? Those are weeds in your life. Are you going to grow strong and be a great person if you make bad choices and hang out with people who help you? What do you think? No, we're not. Well, we're talking about good choices, right? Growing in your faith. So that you'll grow and prosper and, right?
If somebody like says you can't play with me because we're playing like another game that you won't like, that would kind of make a weed.
Right. So don't hang around with the weeds, right? We want you to grow in your faith and grow in the sun, and the sun, Jesus Christ, is going to blossom in each and every one of you, right? Just like these beautiful flowers in my book. I'm so proud of y'all. Thank you for coming in. This was the best children's time ever. I'm so proud. Let's pray really fast. God, I thank you for the spirit in these kids. And we thank you for teaching us how to love and how to grow and how to stay away from the weeds that can come into our lives, God. Bless each of these children as they go about their week. In your most holy name we pray. Amen. All right, if any of you are going to preschool, praise, Miss Donna's ready.
Today's psalm reading is the first psalm. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We need thee. Oh, we need thee. Every hour, oh God, we need thee. And bless us now, divine Savior. Let us come to thee. We pray for our brothers, our sisters, our friends with Pilgrim Baptist Church, mourning the loss of First Lady Time, Latoya. For the White family, we pray. For this church, we pray. We need thee. Oh, we need thee. Every hour, oh God, we need thee. Come, oh blessed Savior. Let us come to thee. We pray for your world, the world that you love, our city, our neighborhood, that your presence would give hope and grace unending. We need thee. We need thee every hour. We need thee. Come, O blessed Savior. Let us enter into your presence. And for these, my brothers and my sisters and my friends, in the bliss of victory and in the difficulty of loss, we ask, O God, that you would be near, that you would give comfort, that you would give hope, that you would breathe peace upon us. In the name of the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, we pray together. Amen. Stand as you're able, and we'll continue to worship.
This morning's epistle reading comes from James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into dejection. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And he will lift you up. And he Humble yourself. humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And he will lift you up. And he will lift you up.
Thank you for joining us for worship. Today, your face, your presence, your voice is a gift, a testimony to the presence of Christ. I'm reminded this week especially how good it is to have a church family. It's so good to have a church family, and all the things that you do, all the ways in which you share the light and the hope and the grace of Christ in a given week that go unnoticed, unseen. Thank you so much. We are four chapters in into the letter, the epistle, the book of James in our scripture, and I invite you, if you're four chapters behind, you can catch on up. You can do it. It's not long. There's a little bit more words than the book Pastor Cheryl showed us, but specifically, if you don't have a practice of regularly reading scripture, I invite you to join us. We've got 1 week left of James. 1 week left of me being over here. Have you noticed? Do you like it over here on this side of the room with all the Christians over here on this side of the room? My six-word summary of James so far. Six-word summary is faith does, mercy triumphs, and build up. Six words. Faith does. Mercy triumphs and build up. And try each week to give you an exit point for the sermon early on in the sermon. Try to give you an exit point. If you don't hear anything else this morning, I hope those words, that short summary of this sacred scripture goes with you. Yeah, loved us. Yeah, mercy triumphs and build up. As is the case with most gurus, most mentors, most sages, most teachers or mentors, whatever word you'd like to put beside it, James, like the teachings of Jesus, James, like the daily Richard Rohr email, there is more in one paragraph, more in one paragraph of James than I can say in my whole life. This is why Scripture is so good, isn't it? More in one paragraph than any of us can say in our whole lives. In a world that says more, more, more. And even in a religious tradition over the centuries that has said more, more, more scripture, more working, more doing. Yeah. It is often the gospel or the wisdom of God that turns upside down the ways of humanity. And in a world that says more, hear the whisper of the Spirit say less. Yeah. Take your time. Slow down. And breathe. So good. Submit is a most unpopular word. Understandably, this word has been ripped out of context and forced upon, specifically in our tradition, women by religious leaders and communities to be somewhat, if not altogether, secondary in their marital relationships, if not their family at large. In and of itself, this unbiblical, unhealthy practice, compounded by the fact that some of the largest Baptist institutions in this state have used this line of thinking to encourage young women to remain in unhealthy, if not abusive, relationships. This rant is brought to you by bad exegesis and bad application of very, very sacred words found in Ephesians and in Colossians. Very sacred words that, when ripped out of context, when used inappropriately, cause great harm. God forgive us. God forgive us. We can do better. Now, James 4 says, submit yourselves to God. And at one point, one level, submit yourselves to God. It's a little redundant. Yeah. Submit connotes order. Submit connotes a posture, a proper position. Submit connotes obedience. And the strangeness of this command, submit yourselves to God, the strangeness is, well, who thinks of themselves better than God in the first place? Why is the, who thinks of themselves as before God? Who thinks of themselves as, well, now that you mention that, you see, what had happened was, James here, in this scripture, in this section here, is not speaking at all of marriage. Submit yourselves to God. James is recalling in Exodus and in Deuteronomy the great first one or two, depending on how you count, the first great commandments, the great words. In Exodus and Deuteronomy, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You should have no other gods before me. James says, submit yourselves to God. Order, posture, obedience, submit is a great word. And friends, the Ten Commandments, or even expanded out by which what we will call the law in the Hebrew, in the Jewish tradition, are not given. The law is not given so that you will follow them, and if you don't, you shall perish. If I had a deeper voice, that part would have really connected with it. That's not, the law is not given so that you could fall short. The law is given as a gift. God gives the Ten Commandments. God gives the law as a gift to the people, saying, I will give you this land, and here is a beautiful way to live. And theologically speaking, technically speaking, this interpretation is known as covenantal nomism. Wake up! You see, it is good that we have order. It is good that we have a posture. It is good that God has first, you see, and we don't need to be talking about marriage. We don't need to be talking about relationships, because when we submit ourselves to God, when we have this proper posture, when we seek to live in a way that God designed for us to live, all the other details, all the other relationships, all the marriages, right, will fall into place. Yeah. And scholar David Fitch describes the church this way. He says, the church is a welcoming and mutually submitting community. Wives need not submit to your spouses, because the church is the place, the church is the people where we all submit to one another. When we submit to God in our lives, we are necessarily and by extension submitting to one another. There was a rabbi, legend has it. There was a rabbi who was granted a special permission to travel to heaven and to hell. This is an allegory, okay? The rabbi first went to hell and found it to be beautiful. The amenities were 5 stars. The scenery was wow. And the angel took this rabbi there in hell and took the rabbi to a great banquet, feast, party, a table unending in length. The finest foods and all of reality were adorned there on the top of the table. And the only thing, just one little thing, stood out a little bit different about this setting to the rabbi. The rabbi noticed that there on the table, there was only one implement that had been offered at this great banquet to enjoy this great feast. And it was an exceedingly long spoon. You see, these spoons were so long, if you held the end of it, you couldn't get the food and then get it into your mouth. Do you get the picture? Should I do more yoga for you? Okay. And if you choked up on it like it were a baseball bat, you couldn't fulcrum it enough because it hits the back of your chair. And so everyone there in hell just sat, not eating a thing. And so the rabbi with the angel was taken up to heaven. The same five-star scene. Beautiful scenery. Wow. And the angel took the rabbi there and into a banquet, a feast, a party. The table is long as could be seen, and there adorning the table is the finest food in all of reality. And the only thing that seemed just a little bit different to this rabbi was there at this incredible feast, with the only implement that had been offered at this great banquet in order to enjoy this great food was these exceedingly long spoons. And there in heaven, gathered around the table, are all these people taking these spoons and feeding one another from across the table. And they're making a mess. And they're laughing. And they are enjoying this incredible banquet feast that had been provided. And the rabbi begged the angel. The rabbi said, I have got to go back. I have got to go back. Please take me back to hell. And the angel relented and took the rabbi back to hell. And there, walking back into the banquet hall there at the feast, the rabbi began to call out to everyone, use your spoons and feed one another from across the table. The food is incredible. Use your spoons and reach out and serve one another, until one lone man stood up and said, I'd rather starve than be fed by that person. Heaven is serving one another. That's what heaven is. It is in this posture of service. It is in this place of secondness or thirdness. This is the very posture Christ received, becoming a servant of all of the world. It is in submission that we discover the salvation of God. Submission is our path to salvation. In verse 8, James continued using a word that has only been used twice in the New Testament. First, in the first chapter of James. Next, we have it here in the fourth chapter. Dipsukos is one of my favorite all-time Greek words. Dipsukos. Will you say it with me? Say dip. Sukos. It's a great word. Dipsukos. Say it all together. Good. So I like this word a lot because I use it out of context. So in the middle of the night, and I'm gone to the restroom, and I come back and I stub my toe. Dipsukos. Tom Brady beat the Cowboys again on the last second. Dipsukos. You cut me off in traffic. Dipsukos. Dipsukos is translated two ways. Two-souled and double-minded. In chapter 1, in short, essentially, James says, our need to have all the answers will divide our minds. Rather, James says, let the mystery of suffering, let the mystery of God be held together with your faith and with your knowledge. It is best to be single-minded. When we require certainty in answers, this divides our minds. Here in chapter 4, to be double-minded, I sense, is to require that one's self is first. See, when we push our own ego, when we push our own desires first, we're actually divided. God designed us in the image and in the likeness of God, the Lion of Christ living deep within us. We were designed not to be first in our own lives. Dipsukos. You see, salvation is not to be double-minded. Salvation is to be whole. Salvation is to be one. God is making the whole world one. God is making you and me with all these divisions in mind and heart and body and spirit. God is making us one. God is making our families. God is making our communities. God is making our world one. Deuteronomy 6, the heart, the center of the Hebrew and Jewish faith, the Shema, as it's known. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Further, in Ephesians 1, 9 and 10, hear this. God made known to us the mystery of the divine will and the Lord's good pleasure, which is purposed in Christ to be put into effect, that when the time comes, Christ will bring unity to all things. Okay? God's ultimate plan since the very beginning is to bring unity to all things, to bring unity to all things. Anakephala iosathai. Anakephala iosathai. I butchered that word in the early service. Here we go. Anakephala iosathai. 17 words, 17 letters in Greek. 19 letters when you transliterate it to English. Anakephala iosathai. You don't know what I'm saying anyways. When's the last time you used a 17-letter word, by the way? When this word is used, Christ is bringing all things together. 17 letters, come on, you're not messing around here. Christ received the form of a servant. Christ submitted the entirety of life and welcomes us to come, to follow, to learn, to be made whole. For centuries, our church has had these beautiful images. Monday, Thursday, on that holy week, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. He took the basin and he took the towel and he washed his disciples' feet and he said, go and do likewise, commanding the disciples to love one another. For centuries, we've celebrated, just as we did last week, the waters of baptism, celebrating that new life is available when we're washed, when we're cleansed, when we live in the waters of Christ unending. For centuries, we have these incredible symbols, the bread and the cup representing the body and the blood, the unity of God carterized through the difficulty of the cross. These symbols speak to us from the depths, and yet this week, for me at least, I needed a different symbol. Something about this story with the rabbi just stuck with me. This week, a heavy week, I needed a spoon. Now, the Matrix, you remember in the Matrix, they says, it's not the spoon that's bending, it's your mind that's bending, which sounds so spiritual and philosophical, and under other circumstances, that's where this sermon would be going, don't you know? But in a week like this, what I needed was a Dairy Queen. Long before cell phones, this old boy is driving through a town northwest of here with an atlas. Reading the atlas, he wasn't sure how to name this place where he found himself. Was it Mulesho or Mulesho? So this old boy, he pulls over and goes there into a shop. And a young, kind, beautiful person behind the cash register gets real close and says, "Will you tell me where I am? And will you just say it real slow so I can understand?" This young person behind the desk kind of looked perplexed, ultimately relenting to the request, and turned the head and said, "Dairy Queen." Worried in my files this week, preacher files. That's the only thing that I had listed under Dairy Queen, so I knew we had to go for it. When I was growing up, we didn't go out to eat much. Parents were very frugal. Allison grew up in a family very frugal, didn't go out to eat much, which causes for me to say, our children are so spoiled. My kids are so spoiled. They've been out to eat more in the last few years of their life than I was had in the first 20 years. But we didn't go out all that much. But one of the things that our parents did was they would go out. This town, a few towns over, had a big Dairy Queen, you know, because they fancy. They bougie, right? And they had an indoor play place at this Dairy Queen, which I'm just now discovering really how genius the indoor play place is. And so all these families from the church, we would go, and everyone got a blizzard. Everyone got a blizzard, and the children would eat these blizzards so quick, and then we would run off and play at the indoor play place, and our parents would probably fellowship in those half-turning awful chairs. You remember those that just turned just a little bit? Yeah. We stopped at a Dairy Queen. I haven't been to Dairy Queen in years. And this summer, our students, we stopped at Dairy Queen in Eden, Texas on the way to youth camp. And I thought, man, I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity. I ordered an extra large chocolate extreme. 2,741 calories per serving. 2.2 servings in that puppy. Can a brother get an amen, youth man? Yeah. And it was amazing. And if you've ever been to Dairy Queen, and if you've ever had a blizzard, they do two things. They stick this long red spoon in that joker, and then they turn it upside down, and then they hand it to you. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. They do two things. They turn it upside down, and when they turn it upside down, I think they're saying it's cold, right? It's the real McCoy. Yeah. And then they stick a spoon in it, whether you get small, medium, or large. Or unless you're a real Christian, you get extra large, okay? Doesn't matter what size you get. They put a long spoon in there so that you can get all of it. You can get to the stuff that's down deep. Yeah. And the wisdom of man says more, more, more. And the wisdom of God turns that thing upside down. And the wisdom of humanity says me, me, me. And the wisdom of God turns that thing upside down and says submit and serve. So I say, in the name of Christ, let's spoon. Pray with me that we might follow after you, O Lord, that we might serve in the shadow of the cross, that we might lay our egos and our desires, that we might lay me aside, that we might submit ourselves to you, submit ourselves to one another, submit ourselves to your church, and truly live to enjoy all the goodness, to enjoy every last bite. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. If we can be of help to you now, what a joy, what a gift, what an honor it is to worship with you. Thank you. And if we can be of help to you now or at your convenience, we'd be honored to do so. I invite you to stand and we'll continue to worship together.
pray with me, please? Loving God, we notice the days growing shorter. The heat subsides, and while summer packs her things to go, we look forward to a new and a different season, vibrant and alive. We anticipate a harvest blessed by rain, a Thanksgiving with actual, real people at the table, with hands to hold and thoughts to share. We anticipate Advent. We contemplate the mystery of Christmas. In other words, God, we look forward to a season full of you, a season of fullness, gratitude, anticipation, celebration, and joy. And so hear our thanks, for you are a God generous in heart, rich in provision, wild in imagination, and we are so thankful to you. Lord, as we have received untold blessings from your hand, let us bless those in our world with the same spirit of grace and abundance. As we have been blessed, let us in turn bless those around us. Because you are our God, we lack for nothing. We learn in the face of Jesus that love does indeed do things, and in the end, mercy triumphs. And for that richness and for that blessing, we offer our thanks. Amen.
Would you stand and let's pass the peace of Christ to one another.
It was in the very beginning that God created all of this by goodness, and it was God's grace all the years, even until this very moment, that has kept you. And it is the love of God, fully revealed in the face of Jesus. It is by that love by which we spoon together. Go in peace.